As you know, that tomorrow is what's called Easter, the resurrection of the Messiah, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in order to go back in time, I don't want to go through an awful lot of proof today, but if there's any questions for someone to verify whether, if they don't know or understand, that he was actually resurrected upon a Sabbath rather than a Sunday. But to understand some history, the reason why it's always on a Sunday, that is Easter, it's always on a Sunday, is not because of tradition of the pagans' celebration. It is because of what they had learned from the Jewish people. Because what happened is, in order to reject the Saturday Sabbath, they had to reject this day as well. So when they moved it up in order to not be Jewish in their background, they moved it up so it always lands on a Sunday. We'll go into Greek a little bit here today if we have to. But I'll let you know a little bit that when we go back into history, we find out that this day, the wave sheaf offering is what this is called, always fell on a weekly Shabbat. And I'll go back into the Torah today to bring it for you. But before we begin, this is a simulation, please. This is not the wave sheaf that you would have in Israel, because it would be made out of what kind of grain?
Barley.
Right. I don't happen to have barley. I don't happen to have wheat. But I got some grass. Get close enough.
Wild oats.
And so when they do, it's called a wave offering. Why is it called a wave offering right offhand? Anybody knows?
Because you wave it.
You wave it? How do you wave it?
Towards the east.
You must raise it up high. And yeah.
We stand up when you do this?
No. I'm just going to do, this is not the real offering, please.
No, you still have to wave it.
And this is the waving before God to be accepted. This is what's called the first of the first fruits. We'll go into 1 Corinthians today and talk about the first of the first fruits, which means as the order comes first is the first wave sheaf offering. And we'll speak here more carefully and in detail, but I want you to know that waving it before God is called acceptance. Now what God does with it, what he's doing, he's accepted. It's not like a whole offering. Okay? What happens is this is accepted, it's brought back down again, and given unto the high priest. And then the high priest begins to make the first bread from the first wave sheaf offering. He begins to do that. And then after that, the rest of the people can continue on harvesting and continue on having and making bread from that point on, whether it's leavened or unleavened, you know what I'm talking about. Of course, today is the days of unleavened bread. And this would be, of course, when they make the first bread, it would be the unleavened bread, because it is the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the Sabbath day that falls in between the two high days is still a Sabbath day. It's a wave sheaf offering. And basically, it is a presentation of what is the bread of life? The Messiah is the bread of life, all right? Which is closely 100% connected to what other day? What other time? Shavuot. It's connected directly to Shavuot. Now, what is that bread made out of?
Wheat.
Leavened bread.
Leavened bread. Very important to know, made out of wheat and made out of leavened bread. It's not made out of barley. Very important to know there's a reason for it. And it's a bigger harvest than the first one. So right offhand, we're going to go to the book of Leviticus. And it's going to be chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to begin with verse 9. I'm going to read it out of this particular King James Version. It's the New King James. But I'm going to leave out a word. I'll tell you why. And you'll see as we come on. I have two other translations. This is the Jewish translation. I'll read what it has to say. This translation here, it's called the Five Books of Moses. It's translated from Old German into English. I'll explain a little bit why in a minute. Something fascinating about Old German and Old Hebrew. The words are very similar in meaning. Not modern time. We're talking ancient German. It's no longer spoken anymore. We're talking about ancient German language. The man who wrote this, or translated this from the German, is, of course, he was a German Jew. And he was ready to become a Christian. Just before he did that, he decided he was going to read what the old German language was about the five books. And after he read that, he turned around and translated that into both English and I believe into modern Hebrew. And he decided not to be a Christian anymore. Oh, there's a reason behind it. Because see, Christianity did something. It moved this day to Sunday. And he could not accept it. And therefore, he discarded it. Now, it may be a shame to, we don't know that much more about him, but he's one of the most famous writers or translators there were in Judaism. Verse 9 of 23. Called the first fruits. This is the first of the first fruits, by the way. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you to reap its harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the morrow, the Shabbat, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that morrow when you have a sheaf to male lamb of the first year without blemish and a whole offering or burnt offering to the Lord. This grain offering shall be of 2/10 of ephah, a fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And this drink offering you shall be of wine, 1/4 of the hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day or same morning that you have brought an offering unto the Lord your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now I'm using an old English word called morrow. 1611, please. And it's very interesting. Now, I know some of your translations that has a word in there that says on the day after. The way she's offering, you shall do this. The word after is not written there in Hebrew in any which way, shape, or form. I've got a copy of all the pronouns of all they were. Every word is always on the morrow, on the morrow, on the morrow. It's never on the morrow after, on the morrow after, on the morrow after. Just on the morrow, the Shabbat. Translated in English, it would be, or Hebrew, Shabbat. On Shabbat morrow. That's what it would say, in literally in Hebrew. On Shabbat morrow. On the morning or the morrow or the day, you want to call it, of the Shabbat. You shall wave it. That's what it says in Hebrew. You can't find that word after in the Hebrew language. It doesn't exist. And I'll read it. If I got marked right place. The 23rd chapter, and I'm going to read it here. Verse 9, Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say it to them, When you have entered into the land which I give you, and you reap its harvest, you shall bring an omer from your first harvest to the Kohen. And you shall wave the omer before the Lord, a grain favor for you, on the morrow of the rest day, and the Kohen shall wave it. The rest day is the same word as Shabbat. On the morrow, on Shabbat. Now, all of a sudden, things got changed afterwards. Now, we're going back in history now, try to find out a little bit more, because why is today so important today? What is so important today? It is the resurrection day. Today is the day he was resurrected, not Sunday. And you can go back in history and pinpoint the exact time of his execution and find out exactly what day it really was that he rose up from. Okay. Why is it so important for us today that we know that this is a different kind of holy day? Not the ordinary holy day. It's a different kind of the wave sheaf offering. It's the only time wave sheaf offering is brought forth. And it's only at this particular point in time in the year that it's brought forth. What happened? And 3 days later, Messiah was resurrected up into heaven. But what did he say to Mary Magdalene? Or Mary? Yeah, Mary Magdalene? When she clung onto him? Don't hang on to me! I haven't gone yet! I'm not ascended yet! So he had still yet to travel upwardly. And we'll see when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's on the first of the Shabbats that they came. First of the Shabbats, plurality of words. Very important to understand plurality of words. God doesn't say in the first of the Shabbat single. It says first of the Shabbats, plural. There's a reason why it's plural. We'll go in the New Testament just a minute. But not right now. I want to read this part in this translation, which I think is kind of fascinating. If I marked it right. And I think I put a marker in between it. Yeah. This lets you know that I've done this research for many, many years. When I first did the research, I didn't know exactly what to do about it, to tell the honest truth. And I kept it quiet for myself for over 7 years. Because it's way out. It's off the beaten pathway. And so then I presented it to two other people. They looked at it, they researched, and they said, "Man, you got that right." Then I presented it to the congregation. They said, "Oh, wow, that's right." It doesn't say that in Hebrew. So we have to go back and find out what does the written word of God have to say. I've learned an awful lot in the last few years, last few months, rather. Hardly anything, I use that word hardly because I have the more clarification, so somebody would have this thing in their mind. I found no error so far in anything that's been translated. You have to learn to look at it through the eyes of the Creator. And when you look at it through the eyes of the Creator, it all adds up. Remember I told you about numbers? Mm-hmm. 430 doesn't add up in chronological order. It adds up perfectly, prophetically, when God, the action of God begins to move. When the action of man is involved, it's subtracted like it never existed. When the action of God begins, bambo. Then you can count and it gets exactly right on the nose every single time. I'm doing some more research on some places, but it's not that important. And I'm just going to go to verse 9 here, this one. Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, When you enter in the land that I have given you, you shall harvest of its harvest. You harvest of its harvest. You are to bring a premier shaft, means first, Not just being the first cutting. It means you should, they have what they're being a premier. It means you go in there and you find the best part of the stock. You know, not just anything. But you go in there and you look through the field. Oh, there is a good part. And you cut the best of the first cut. Okay, it's not just what you have to reach in there first when you enter into the field. You go find out what's the best in the field. Premier. Remember, this is German translated into English, and they say it's premier, not just, you know, not the first we define, but the best of the bunch. Of your harvest to the priest, he is to elevate the chaff before the presence of the Lord, or Yahweh, for an acceptance for you. On the morrow of the Sabbath, the priest shall cleave it, or elevate it. So we have another translation. There's one more translation which I did not bring today. Try to find it. I couldn't. Some of you have it. It's Younger's literal translation. And he says the same thing. On the Sabbath. So we have these three. I have these three proofs. A whole lot more than that. In Judaism, there is a conflict. They don't know what to do. And the Sanhedrin is supposed to straighten it out. So I don't know if they will or not. But, you know, Sanhedrin has just been formed. They have not yet come together and figured out exactly what to do. Now, before I go any farther, are there any questions?
What's the literal translation of morrow?
Morrow? Yeah. Oh, it's an ancient English word. I mean, you have to go back 1611 to find out because you can't find it in the dictionary. It means the word next. Referring to time sequence. The next, and you refer means the next daylight time. The next time when it's morning. That's where we get the word tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's the ancient English word of morrow. Mm-hmm. Which we don't use it anymore. We don't say morrow. I'll see you tomorrow. That's our odd word. Or I'm going to come tomorrow. It doesn't make sense to us because we have moved it up to mean tomorrow. Okay, but on the very same time, it has the very same thing with the next event. I want to go to a place, really awkward translation, if I can find it. First Chronicles 29. Gotta think how much Chronicles that. Did I say First Chronicles? Or yet? 29:21. First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 21. 29, verse 21. And they made the sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered a whole offering to the Lord on the next day. Now, word, the next day, doesn't exist in Hebrew. That's really odd, but you have to find this in Hebrew to know what it says. On this day, or on this morrow, they also did everything else. It's not the next day. The next day, the word day does not exist there in Hebrew. It's on the next, first they tell you, first event, then they say, next, they did this on the same morrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whatever they did on that one holy day, they also did something else on that same day. It's really an old Hebrew word. We don't have a good definition of it in English. But it has to do with not the next day, because that sounds really weird. It's on this morrow, they did this. Now, how would you translate in English?
Well, Mark, what you're saying is next.
It's next.
Next day.
Next event. How many events do you do in the morning? Now, on a holiday, there's not a whole lot to do in the morning. All right? So when it says on the next day, it's a bad translation. The word day is not there. And that word that should be this. It doesn't work in Hebrew. That would sound like however. This is inclusive. This means including the next event. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of events take place. That old English word in 1611, that word morrow meant the next thing to take place in time. It's a really old English word. Going back times is that I've done this. What's the next event? Well, what is I'm not doing this, and what's the morrow event? We don't use those words today. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to us. That's why I use the word tomorrow. Why we use tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Means next morrow. Literally means next day for us in English. Okay? But then we use also, we use the word and you say, we use this as a future tense word also in Hebrew, in English rather, as well as Hebrew, but more in English. What will tomorrow bring? When the new president is elected. Now, we're not meeting the next day, are we? What is the, means the future, going to happen when the new president is elected? And we use that word tomorrow quite often. But back it up. Primarily, always means in relationship to time. It has to do with time. Not a thing you're doing. It's time. The next time you do this, or the next morrow you do this, or on the morrow you do this. Hebrew is quite common. On the morrow. On the morrow. On the morrow. Over and over and over again throughout the entire place. And in Exodus there, Leviticus, it says, on the morrow, then they put in the word after. That word after does not exist. I want to make sure that you understand that. You can look it up yourself. You can research yourself. When we use the Hebrew word mem, what does it mean?
Letter?
Menorah? What do we do when we use the word menorah? Light from. That's all the word means. So you have men. Okay, I pronounced that word in Hebrew. But it's like it's menorah. From morrow, or from next, on the next, or on the morrow, or from the morrow, on the Sabbath, on the morrow, on the next, on the Sabbath. You understand what I'm saying? We're looking at the word Sabbath, because that Sabbath is a key thing that's centered in on this scripture, not any day of the week, but the Sabbath. You understand what I'm saying? It's a little confusing, but it doesn't really come out in Hebrew. And the only place they put the word after is there in Leviticus. Why? Why do you think he put it there for?
It was a trick.
To move.
Oh.
To move!
Right.
The wave sheaf offering to Sunday. It's not there, people. It's not there. Now, when the translators translated it, whether they knew what they were doing or not, I do not know. I wasn't there in 1611 to find out. There's 50 of them that translated this thing. And so I'm not going to be there and telling you what the typical English argument is about when the English people get together and they bicker. You go to Parliament, you find out what they do. Anyway, with that part in mind, what does that have to do with us today?
Switches it from Saturday to Sunday, the next.
I'm sorry, what?
Switches it from Saturday to Sunday, the next.
Yes. But the most important thing isn't that. Remember, I said that surround the word Shabbat. Right? Sabbath. It's very important that we keep this part in mind. A very interesting things occur in the Revelation, in the book of... Oh, before we do that, I want to read this section in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter about the order of the events. 14th chapter. Or maybe it's the 15th chapter. I'm sorry, 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Jesus is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In the sense, man came by death, and by man also came the resurrection of life. For as Adam all died, so in Christ all shall live. For each one in his own order, Christ first fruits, and afterwards those who are at his coming. When Christ is resurrected up from the dead, didn't it say there, the dead? He's the first one that has been elevated up and accepted. And that's what the first fruits is all about. Today is the first of the first fruits. There is another first fruits, but it has to do with now gathering the first fruits of the people. There's a second fruit on the people too. We won't go into that today. When Shavuot comes, we'll talk about that a little bit. So I just want you to know that Christ is considered by the Apostle Paul's word the first of the first fruit. I want to go to Matthew. In the last Matthew. Where do I want to go to? Matthew 28. Now, a lot of you people have different translations. It's kind of important that we look at these different translations, see if they got how they translated the words. All right? The first verse. What does, who wants to read that? Go ahead.
I'll do it in my, after Shabbat, as the next day was dawning, Miriam and Magdala and the other Miriam went to see the grave.
Another translation.
Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and that's from the New American Standard Bible.
Okay.
This is New King James. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary and the other Mary came to see the tomb.
Any others?
What does the NIV say?
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
Right. We got a lot of confusing terms here, don't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll look at this first word.
After.
The word after. All of you seem to have the word after. Mm-hmm. What does yours say?
Mine says, in the end of the Sabbath.
In the end of the Sabbath. Okay. Same kind of wording. All right. All right.
What? In the end of weekly Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week.
Okay, we're going to deal with the word after first. We'll deal with the rest of the words as we go along. The reason why it's important for us to know and understand this is because day represents the resurrection of the Messiah. It's important for us to know. I mean, this is a lot of knowledge. Okay, what does that do with my life? When people are going to ask you some questions, why are you walking this way? Do you have an answer for them? If you don't have an answer for them, you're going to say, well, because our church teaches it. Oh, that's because this guy who stood up here, name I can't remember, named Richard, yeah, he said something That won't work. Hey, who am I? Nobody. You have to go to the Word of God and say, this is what it says in Greek. This is what it says in Greek. Turn to Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 19. He went out of the city. Let's go to Mark 13th chapter, verse 35. Watch you therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Do you know what those are? He's listed four of them. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. What are they?
The watches.
It's the watches. The first watch is the evening watch. Now we'll backtrack here. So you go in Matthew and it shouldn't say after the Sabbath. Should say the evening or Erev Shabbat is what we would call it today. The evening of the Shabbat, not after, Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, she went there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have Mark to back it up. It means evening, both locations. That word is those two locations. Very important that you go to Mark to see that difference, because it's talking about Erev. In the Erev, he left. In the Erev, he departed. He said to Mark. You know not when he comes, because he may come in the Erev, the evening, not after. Doesn't it make sense? He comes down, he says, be watching there, because he may come after. What? After what? Midnight? Or after clock crows? Or after the morning? Is that what he said? No. Greek doesn't back it up. He's using the four watches. There's four day watches, there's four night watches. Four night watches is more known. All right. We're going to go on. The next word is the word Sabbath. In Hebrew, or in Greek, rather, it is plural. It is plural. On the Erev of Shabbats, what did she do? What did she do?
As the first of the
day is not there. You can't get in there, no matter how hard you try with Greek. You can do your very best. The word day is not there in Greek. It doesn't exist. The word first does exist. On Erev Shabbat, first of Shabbats. That word week is the same exact identical Greek word. On the Erev Shabbats, on the Shabbats, on the first of the Shabbats. Now, let me ask you a question. If there's a first, is there not another one? If there's number one, you have another one to follow.
At least has to be a last.
I want you to keep watch. We're going to go one more place, then we'll keep on going. Let's go to Luke, the 6th chapter. When Jeff was going through this section in Matthew, I wanted to interrupt and say something. I said, no, it ain't time yet. But today is the time. Okay. verse 1. What does it say?
One Shabbat.
What does it say in Greek? Yes.
Mine says, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first.
That's what it says in Greek. What happened on that day? The disciples went out and picked corn off the field. And the Pharisees came and said, what are they doing something that's not lawful on the Shabbat? Plurality. They were supposed to pick it. Mm-hmm. Not because they weren't hungry. Not because their hands were on the horse. They were supposed to pick it until when? The high priest has done his job. They had to get an order from the high priest to do the job. But it says the second Shabbat. What happened the first Shabbat?
Waving.
Oh, and Luke. Backtrack, chapter 5, what took place? Backtrack, chapter 4, what took place? There's a time cycle here, people. And it's very important to pay attention to the time cycle. He was tempted. And yes, after 40 days and 40 nights, mm-hmm. he won. Listen very carefully. It was a very careful words. What did he do when he came back? He went to Nazareth, where he had been, what? Brought up. This is verse 16. As his custom was, he went into the synagogues on Shabbats, plurality, and stood up to read. Now, we say, okay, what Shabbat did he do it on? Oh, any Shabbat. That was his custom, always go on the Shabbats. And he always goes this, he does this. He picks it up, and it was his turn to read. His turn to read, because it's tradition. His turn to read. No, this wasn't just an accident. This wasn't just happenstance in that man's life. What did he read? I want you to read what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, and to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach acceptable year of the Lord. What's the way she's supposed to be?
Acceptance.
To be accepted.
Now you're saying that is the first.
No. I'm just telling you that we had to put ourselves in time sequence for a moment. First the trial, 40 days. We don't know how long that he's actually tempted. We know he's hungry for 40 days. Wouldn't surprise me if he was tempted for 3 days and 3 nights. No. But that's just my thinking. You know, my mind has no business staying there. But you understand that there was a sequence of events that took place. Luke's even more precise about it because he goes from there to the calling of the apostles. And Levi was one of them. So what did he do? If this was the second Sabbath that took place in chapter 6, what took place in the first chapter? Listen. What did he do? First. First chapter, first verse. Now as it was that the multitude proceeded, pressed about him for nearer with the word of God and stood at the lake of Gennesaret, okay, I pronounce that right, and saw two boats standing by the lake, and fishermen had gone out from them and were washed with them. And he had on the boat of Simon, Peter had asked him, and so on forth, and forth. He said, launch it on the other side of the net. So he did, and lo and behold, it came down. And then it happened, verse 12, that when he was in the city, lo and behold, he healed somebody, a cleanser, and the sick. And then Guess what? Along comes Levi. He calls Levi. When did he call Levi? He had to call him sometime between the first Shabbat and that second Shabbat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something happened. What we have happened here, we don't have a complete picture of what took place in the first Shabbat. We know it took place the second Shabbat, didn't we? All of a sudden, the Pharisees are upset because someone's eating food. Because their hands are unclean. What I'm trying to get at this point in time is, when we look at the Greek, the word plurality is quite often listed there. And when you read Matthew, when it talks about them eating the corn, we assume it's ordinary Sabbath. But there in Greek it says Shabbats, plurality. Here we go to the book of Luke and find out, oh, first, we're talking about the second Sabbath. Here now we talk about this number one, we now know the number two. We know there's number two, right? Mm-hmm. Now if you're a Jewish, what are you doing?
Counting the
starting to count. Mm-hmm. What are you counting?
Towards.
You're counting the Shabbats. Mm-hmm. Just like the Torah tells you to do. Because the first Shabbat is not the first Shabbat in the first of the month of the year. The first Shabbat is always after Passover. That's when you start counting. The Torah tells you that. That's number one. Shavuot, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, completed. Not yet at Shabbat. You're not there at Shavuot yet. But seven Sabbaths must be completed. So they count them. They're not counting Omar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all up to 50. They count in the Shabbats. Because that's what's commanded for us to do. That's commanded for them to do. They count the Shabbats. Counting the Omar every day is something that was added by the Pharisees or the Talmud in order to get something off guard. But the truth is, what does seven represent? Completion. So we have first the first fruit, then after him comes the bigger harvest. So everything happens today, the resurrection of the Messiah, the wave sheaf offering of the Messiah is directly connected to us. It's not something that happened somewhere else. If he's the first of the first, then there's got to be, how could he be first of the first? Is there a second of the first? Biblically speaking, yes, there's a second of the first. It's kind of hard for us to picture a second of the first. What does that mean? Those at his coming. What about those? Is there anybody going to come after? Are the only ones that are going to be at the resurrection, and that's the only ones they're going to be, and nobody else is going to ever become in the family of God, no one else will become baptized, no one else will become what? No. Those who are dead in Christ rise first, those who are alive at his coming, or go with them in unity. What about the rest of mankind? Just stop and think for a moment. These things have been going through my mind. If there are seven Shabbats, there may be, knowing God, seven complete callings. And I think the book of Revelations tells you that. We have sometimes in our mind that God, if you're not called now, there is nothing for you. Bible doesn't say that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have in Revelations where it says, blessed are those who live in the Lord from now on. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from this time on. That's when the beast is already in power. Lo and behold, what does that mean?
if there were seven different columns, they may be determined by the thousands of years. The first thousand of years that set.
Who was called the first thousand?
I say Abraham, Noah.
Yeah, Noah. No. You have
Adam.
Noah was the first set. He was
actually the second.
Adam. Adam would be first.
Adam would be the first one.
Enoch.
Abel. Enoch.
A few of those.
And others we don't know about. Okay, so we're talking about a series of events that's going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I do believe that every 1,000 years there is a calling to fulfill the complete picture of the whole thing. But this is my opinion. It doesn't mean anything. But God never works in singles. He works in foursomes. He works in sevens. He works in tens. And he works in twelves. It's continually now in how he works. It's a fascinating thing to know about God. So we have here today the wave shape offering. And though we have a tendency, because who we are, we have a tendency to look at the Christian world. So why are you celebrating the rising sun for? Because they did not know that it was changed deliberately. The Jewish people, what do they think?
They solved the problem. They didn't want to have to look at a Sabbath resurrection, so they just put it on the 6th of Nisan, and that way you never have to look
never
at it.
Never have a 6th Nisan, never, never, Sabbath. Never lands on Sabbath. It can land on Sabbath, but never lands on Sunday. And so they do their counting on the 15th day of the first month.
Eliminated the resurrection.
They eliminated the resurrection. They are just as much as the wool over their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We can say that by scripture because that's what it says. But sometimes we don't realize that wool's over ours.
Yeah.
The veil, what do you want to call it? And by the grace of God, may that veil be ripped in two so we may see, that we may understand. I want to go to one more place. It's the book of John. There's some very confusing Greek phrases. And it's really hard to... And Greek is very, very clear on this one. So we have, remember we said there that in Matthew, the word after shouldn't be, it should say Erev Shabbat. Then we went to Mark where it said, talked about the four watches at night. And that first watch means a dark watch. You cannot watch it between 12 and 6. You start watch at 6 to 4 hours later. That's dark. That's the first watch. Or the first Erev of the four watches. It's called Erev. 20th chapter. Book of John. Now, some of your translations, you know, in Mark, Matthew, I think it said, and when the dawn was arising, that's not there in Greek in its way, shape, or form. This is what more closely, the book of John is probably the most closest translation you're ever going to get. And it says, on the first, limit the word day, because it doesn't exist. On the first of the Shabbats, while Mary Magdalene came into the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, do you mean to tell me she saw it while it was still dark but the sun was coming up? Or did she come, like it says in the book of Matthew, she came in Erev Shabbat, the evening of the Shabbats, that first watch. And the first watch she came, and guess what? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. She went there to anoint him. Because that's what you're supposed to do. After the third day, you go in there and you anoint him. She wasn't breaking the law, by the way. She was obeying the law. What you do when the person dies? You have to go anoint him. You had to do it before the third day. Otherwise, the body stinks. We don't think of that in modern 20th century. Who cares about anybody gets anointed? But by tradition, and probably by command, you anoint the dead person. You anoint the dead person. Why anoint the dead person? What do you anoint him with?
Frankincense.
And myrrh. Why anoint him with frankincense and myrrh?
So they don't stink.
It's what?
So they don't stink. It's an antiseptic.
Becomes a sweet aroma unto God. All right. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved and told him, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where he has led him. So she saw him in the first hour of Shabbat. Then she ran and told Peter. Well, it doesn't tell us she went back. She went back there with all of them. Remember, Peter came running. And John came running. And was it John was running faster than Peter was? And lo and behold, he didn't enter in. He stopped there, didn't terrified going into the tomb. And oh, finally, Peter caught up with him and went straight on in. You remember, he said, that's Peter. Good positive statement about him, though. And lo and behold, it was gone. You know, and they didn't believe. They didn't believe he was. They thought he was taken away. They didn't believe. They didn't know he was resurrected. They didn't understand the wave sheaf offering. What do you think they were doing? What do you think the disciples were doing?
Checking.
They're what?
Checking. Checking things out.
Yeah. What do they believe?
They didn't believe in anything.
They believed he was dead, right?
Yes.
They believed he was dead.
They said go fishing.
No, they go fishing. I'll look at that later. But They believed he was dead. I mean, they were mourning for 3 days here now.
Mm-hmm.
And you do mourn for 3 days. I mean, if someone very close to you dies, you say, well, I got 3.5 minutes before the sun's okay. Okay, it's all over with. Let's do something else. They don't do that. You mourn for a long time.
Right. You mourn.
That's what they were doing here in the morning. So, when you look at this thing and you're saying, okay, this wave sheaf offering is the first of the first fruits. There's going to be more resurrection from the dead. And in the Christian world, as well as the Jewish world, you have heard it been said that when you die, you go to heaven. That's not what it says scripturally. Otherwise, those who are dead in Christ, why would they rise first if they're already there? It makes no sense. So we have a beginning. The beginning begins today. The beginning of your life, beginning of your resurrection begins the day that Jesus was accepted. And he come, he's going to give you and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is acceptable year of the Lord?
Jubilee.
It's 50. I don't know, but acceptance is the fourth cup.
True.
And when you wave the sheaf, that's
acceptance of him for us. All right, that's what's very clear is. Accept him for us. We're not being waved ourselves here. He's waved there for us. So if he was waved on the Shabbat, on this first fruits of the Shabbat, why would we not be accepted on that time as well?
4 times later.
Because if he's been accepted, we'll be accepted. Acceptable time of the year. When is it? We have, this is the beginning of the count. We go all the way until we reach Shavuot. And what's lifted up in Shavuot?
Us.
Us, two loaves of bread that's got yeast in it. Remember, God created yeast. It's not sin. It's just God created yeast. But we are going to be accepted because we're connected directly with the first of the first fruits. We become the first fruits. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today is the beginning of our picking. He is counting it. He is counting the Shabbat. He is counting those days. He is going to be doing the work to get there. It's not us if we count. It's telling when we count, we know that when it comes to that point, guess what happens? We are accepted. Does that make sense? That's the day we are accepted. That's why we're close. That's why you have days of unleavened bread are connected directly. Not indirectly. Directly. And a precise number. And precise order. The first fruit first. And those at his coming